Welcome, part two, the sequel. For those who are here with us today, this is my second time welcoming them. But, you know, you can't really go wrong, you know, with hospitality, welcoming someone twice. For those of you who are online, who are watching, welcome to Connection Fellowship today. We're going to go ahead and start out with a few announcements today before getting into the service. And we're going to ask Miss Gilstrap to come up and do that, please. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Part two, like James said. I have a couple of announcements for us. I want to say a thank you to everyone who's joining us virtually online for your patience and understanding as we will be taking the first 15 minutes of this Sunday, the next two Sundays, to kind of fill in what we were going to do for our global impact celebration that got canceled by this random snowstorm. First announcement I have is that today, on this wonderful holiday about love, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper together. We are encouraging all of you at home to have some kind of bread and juice substitute of your choice on hand for this time, and we have provided for everyone here some COVID-friendly packaging. And if you know, get hungry, there's a million of them on all these seats, so you can just grab another one, I guess. But no, this will be a really nice time of us just having remembrance for what God has done for us in loving us and sending his son. Next, the women's ministry is having a braided coffee and conversations. It's going to be awesome. This will be February 20th, so this next upcoming Saturday, I believe it's Saturday. It's a morning of worship and prayer. Heather Francine, who's a church member here, will lead us in worship to our Savior, followed by a time of prayer specifically for our church body and the women of Connection Fellowship. This starts at 10 a.m., and a light brunch will be provided. Next, the men's ministry, the Iron Men, will also host an exciting event next month. This event will feature an in-depth discussion about Jesus' claim to be God throughout the book of John. This event will take place here at Connection Fellowship Church on Saturday, February 27th from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., and breakfast will be served. If you have any questions about those two things, you can ask any of the women on leadership or Megan Stripe, any of the men on leadership or Bradford Hughes. Like I mentioned previously, Plan B of the GIC is to spread out the missionary updates. We did one this morning, and we thank you again for those on live stream with being patient for us, as for the safety of our mission partners and their ministries, we will not be live streaming their information. But what I want to make sure super clear is that the next two Sundays, and you should have gotten an email about this, in-person people will be here at 10. Live stream people will be here at 10:15 joining us. And then as a follow-up for our mission partners is the Missionary Money Fund, Mission Partner Money Fund. This is a fund that is separate from our church budget, and every year we collect pledges around February after going over our missionary updates. And these pledges is the collection of money that is spread throughout the mission partners we have for that year. That is the only money that they receive financially from the church for that whole year. So it's a big deal. So we have set up a couple of ways that you can give specifically to this, and you do have to specify that this is what you're giving to. But we've provided some really nice cards for y'all. You can go ahead and switch to that slide. It's the one with the black cards. So you can give in person by pledging on these cards. You keep one for your receipt, and the other one you can turn into the church. We'll have a little basket in the back to collect. We've also step-by-step spelled out for you how you can pledge virtually, and you should have received an email for that. If you did not, please let someone know. We'll make sure you get that. And I do want to give a disclaimer that if you do give virtually, both myself, Natalie Gilstrap, and Megan Stripe will be able to see those pledges. And then we've also provided an opportunity for you to give through the mail. So you can request from Andrea Johnson to mail you a pledge card, or if you want to mail that in somehow, that is perfectly fine as well. And my last thing kind of goes along with the GIC, and then we'll go into our first song. We call our missionaries mission partners because it explains exactly what they're doing. They're partnering with God and what he's already doing in the world. And those of us who claim to be Christians, we are also called to be mission partners as well in what he is already doing in the places that he has placed us in. And I think it's amazing how God doesn't stoop over us, but he stands beside us and he calls us to join him. And I think that that's really humbling and it shows his love for us. As we continue to celebrate our mission partners throughout this month, we want to invite you to reflect on what would have been the theme of the Global Impact Celebration this year, which is light, light breaking through the darkness. And when we shine our lights as Christians, we become little tastes of heaven here on earth, pointing to the source of light, our precious Jesus. May we reflect on and challenge ourselves of how we can be a light as we partner with God in our daily lives, wherever he has us. And so I have two statements that are also on the prayer cards that I've provided that we can pray over each other in our church. May we look for ways to be a light in our homes, across the street, and around the world. And the next one says, may we remember our calling to love God and love others as mission partners wherever he may lead. And with that, I am done. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalie. Let's give Natalie a round of applause for all the updates and just the awesome news of how God is working in our church family, in our missionaries, in our world. So let's stand together this morning. We're going to sing. I want to start with by asking you a question. Have you ever been so thirsty? Have you ever been so thirsty that you've just ran to the sink and just turned on the faucet and just stuck your head underneath the water because you just can't? You just don't have time to get a glass. You just want to go straight for the faucet. Well, I'm guilty. I've done that quite a few times. I guess in my mind I'm justifying saving or dirtying up a glass of or cup. But it makes me think of the time when Jesus was at the well with the woman who was drawing water. And he told her that he has a water that if she drank it, that she would never thirst again. And what Jesus was alluding to was, as he says in other places in Scripture, that he says, if you believe in me, if you trust in me, then there will literally be living waters flowing from your heart. And at the time, he was referring to the Holy Spirit, which God would come, would provide, would send his Holy Spirit. And so for us who are on this side, we look and we look back to the time in which the Holy Spirit was promised. But we are on the side in which the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And he is indeed a well that never runs dry, that lives within us, that continues to comfort us, to bring us joy when we're full of sorrow. He intends to bring us the Word of God and comfort us with that. And so may we be reminded as we sing today of the love that God has for us, that he would give us his very presence to dwell in us and to continue to satisfy us now and forever. Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only. your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. See his open arms, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, for the wonders of His love. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world. Amen. Thank you for singing with us. You can be seated as we enter into a time that we are expectant and excitingly waiting to hear from the Lord. Father, we love you, God, and we do not love you because we first loved you. Lord, you first loved us, and that is only how we are able to love you, because you have placed your Spirit and you have made us alive. You've taken our hearts of stone and you've given us hearts of flesh. You've plunged us from the bottom of the ocean. You've pulled us up. You've rescued us. You've breathed life into our dead bodies. You've given us life and life abundantly. We thank you that you have given us your Spirit. We thank you that you've given us your Word that both leads us and guides us into the truth. So Holy Spirit, that is our prayer now, that you would lead us into the truth for your glory and for our good. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Three times. Welcome. I really appreciate y'all being here today, and for those who are joining online, for what is the kickoff to a brand new series. This series will be focused on the fruit of the Spirit. I kind of affectionately, nobody in this room knows this because I haven't articulated this to anyone. I, in my own mind and in my own heart, I refer to this particular sermon today as the Franken sermon. You know what I mean? It's got all these pieces and parts that I'm going to try to pull together in a way that makes sense and is coherent and hopefully lives. It's alive. This is the Franken sermon today, in a way of trying to bring all these different pieces together. And in a way, I think that's exemplifies what we're also doing in the series, in that you won't hear a repetitive voice coming from the person speaking during this series. It's going to be brought to you by different people who are a part of this church, one person who we're bringing from the outside to speak. But you'll hear a lot of different voices speaking about a lot of different fruit of the Spirit, and that's intentional. It really is a matter of, it's not about any one of us, it's about the one God that we serve. And when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're really talking about the gifting of God and His work in each of our individual lives. And as He works in each of our individual lives, then we collectively as a body grow as well. I was trying to think about how to lead off this this subject because, I don't eat a ton of fruit. I was trying to think, well, how do I even begin to talk about this? So I decided to go back to my childhood for a minute, right? And one of my favorite places when I was growing up was my father's mother's house. Now, I don't know what you call your father's mother's. Mine was a granny. You know, that was who I went to. So I went to granny's house, and that was one of my favorite places to go on the whole planet. And I would love to tell you that it was just because I was loved there and cared for there, and that is true. But it was also because, like, the best things to eat were at granny's house. Do you know what I mean? Like biscuits and just all this stuff that was so good. But I remember one particular day going to my granny's house, and there on the center of the table was this like bowl of fruit. And I wasn't even a fruit person, but man, that stuff looked good. And I was kind of hungry, but my granny said, you can't eat that. And I was like, but I'm hungry. And I would love to tell you that I was always a godly, obedient young man who was submissive to his elders, but lying from the pulpit is probably a bad idea. So I'm not going to pretend that's the case. So I did what a young person sometimes does when the authority figure leaves the room. I waited until she left, and I reached over and picked one single grape off of this bunch. I popped it into my mouth, and I began to chew it, and I chewed it, and I chewed it, and I could not eat it because it was artificial fruit. When she said, you can't eat it, I thought she meant that you're not allowed to. I didn't know that she meant you can't eat that. Like, it will not sustain you. It won't nourish you. And so for me, that had a lot of applications for some of where we'll go today. I want to start out by reading as sort of an introduction to this series from Galatians 5:13 through 23. The scripture says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." Now, I could spend a long time on that passage, longer than I have to spend today. I just want to point out a couple of things before we kind of move on through that passage. One is that it starts out talking about whether we're biting into one another and devouring one another, and then later it's talking about fruit of the Spirit. So there's a whole piece on there about what are you consuming, the people around you, or are you consuming from the Spirit and the Word of God? There's some pieces there. There's also like two different lists at play there. You have the list about the things that are works of the flesh versus the things that are works of the Spirit or fruit of the Spirit, and how those two things, there's some parallels there as how those are laid out. So there are lots of different things we could take away from that. I would also point out that that isn't a hierarchy when it's pointing out works of the flesh. In other words, drunkenness is not a better sin than sexual immorality, and gossip is no better than those two either. So it's not like a multiple choice. You know, which one of these is the worser sin? No, it's all sin. You know, it doesn't matter. One's not better than the other. But for the purposes of really beginning to lay a foundation for this message and where we'll go today, I want to start by talking about a fundamental fact I know about fruit. And that is, real fruit grows. Real fruit grows. And what I mean by that is, that fruit that I tried to eat, that grape that I picked off, it was formed the way it was formed. Like, it didn't grow from a plant unless it was a rubber plant. It did not grow from a plant, and it couldn't do anything to nourish me. It was no good. It hadn't grown. What I mean by that in this context is, when we talk about fruits of the Spirit, it's sometimes easy for me to say, well, that's just not my gift. When I think about patience, don't some people just seem to be born with patience? You know what I mean? They have that patience of Job thing, which incidentally is a bad turn of phrase if you've ever read Job, but that's beside the point. You have that whole idea that some people are just naturally gifted. And that's true. Some people do seem to have an extra measure of patience or gentleness or self-control, and they just seem to be more gifted in that. The key, though, is that we don't get a pass on the fruit of the Spirit just because it's not our natural bent. That the fruit of the Spirit is something that grows within us. In other words, these are things we should all be growing in. We should be more loving today than we were yesterday. We should be more gentle today than we were yesterday. We should be more patient this year than we were last year. And if I'm really honest, when I look at that list and I'm like, how was I a year ago compared to now? I'm not sure I get a passing grade on that one. You know, am I really consistently moving up and to the right? Am I growing? And the whole point of growing from the standpoint of nature, the whole point of coming into maturity is to reproduce, to make new fruit. The fruit produces the seed creates the new plant, the plant moves on. Likewise, when you talk about the fruits of the Spirit, we don't get a pass on them just because it may not be our natural bent. We have to be growing in them. But in addition to that, the flesh has deeds and the Spirit has seeds. And what I mean by that is, we can do all these deeds of the flesh. And that can be the list that we listed before. And as we'll see a little bit later, that can also be lists of good behaviors. But it will not bear fruit unless it is fruit of the Spirit. We can do modeling of behavior and teach someone how to do a particular thing, but we lack the ability to make heart transformation in other people. In fact, if you spend a lot of time trying to control other people, what I can tell you is two facts. Number one, you are annoyed and frustrated. And number two, so is everybody else around you, right? Nobody wants to be controlled and micromanaged and ruled over. Like, nobody wants that. The reality is that the flesh has deeds. We can do all of this stuff in our flesh. We can even do some things that are really socially acceptable and look good in our flesh, but those things will never bear fruit of the Spirit in and of themselves. So as we go through this series and we talk about the different aspects of fruit of the series, the fruit of the Spirit, what I want you to understand is that this is not a list of fruits of the Spirit, of things you got to get on board and get right about. In other words, you need to step up your game. Now, does it mean it may require some effort? Yes, but effort without the Spirit will not produce the fruit of the Spirit. It can only reproduce out of what it is. That's the only thing that it can do. And fortunately, it falls to Valentine's Day to start the list of fruits of the Spirit. And conveniently, the first one up is love. So I get to start out today on that. I also, my wife is with her sister, taking her on a birthday trip, which is like a license to freedom. I can talk about love without her in the room. You know what I mean? Which means two things. Number one, I could use her in illustrations. That's lovely. It also means, though, that I could at least pretend like I have some of this more right than I do, because, you know, she's my accountability partner number one, right? She does better. She's like, you know, she can call me on that. For that, we're actually going to turn to probably what is the most familiar passage about love that I know of. If you have been to many weddings, you have probably heard it read. You have probably seen it on greeting cards and on posters. People who do not even know anything about church in many cases or have not been in a church have often heard this passage just through the culture. And it comes out of 1 Corinthians 13. I'm actually going to read my point before I go and read this passage because I want to kind of set the stage for some of our thoughts as we move into that. And the point is, anything without love is nothing. Anything you've got, anything without love is still nothing. Beginning in 1 Corinthians 13, 1. If I speak with the tongues of mankind and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all of my possessions to charity, and if I surrender my body so that I may glory but do not have love, it does me no good. I want to pause there for a minute and take on the gravity of what that just said. First of all, it is completely possible to speak without love. It is perfectly possible to prophesy without love. It's perfectly possible to have knowledge and not have love. It's possible to give away all that you have and possess without love. And it's even possible to lay down your life and not have love. Man, for me, that was one of those things I had to kind of stop and take a look at, because what would motivate someone to do those things if not love? Well, there's a long list of things that could be, right? Have we ever seen in the headlines or people we know, or perhaps in our own lives, probably not, but we know people, right, where you've given something, but you gave it to be seen? Valentine's Day, you gave something, but you gave it to be seen? If the only time you give your spouse flowers or chocolates or special attention is once a year on Valentine's Day, and you have the flowers delivered to their office, right, or to wherever it is that they're going to be seen the most, I'm not saying that you don't love them. I'm saying check your motives, right? Anybody who gives and has to have a parade when they give is probably not giving out of the right place, out of the right context. When we give away, even if we lay down our lives, if we do it for the wrong reasons, for the wrong motivations, what this passage says is that the end result of that will be nothing. Nothing. What if I speak the truth? If you speak it without love, it will amount to nothing. If you prophesy the truth and you do it without love, it will come to nothing. It will come to nothing at all. If we have faith, can you have faith without love? Even the devil believes and trembles. Right? I guess for him, technically, it's not faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. He's seen it. You know, so I guess that's technically not faith. So we can give away all that we have, lay down our lives, but if we do it without love, well, you know what it is? It's artificial fruit. It's fake. It didn't grow. It's not being cultivated, and it can't reproduce the spirit when it's done in the flesh. What's done in the flesh can't yield results of the spirit except for by the spirit's power. Which brings me to the next point. Love does not always feel lovely. For that, we'll pick up at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act disgracefully. It does not seek its own benefit. It's not provoked. It doesn't keep an account of wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It keeps every confidence. It believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. I'll just be honest with you and transparent. There is nothing on that list that I particularly enjoy doing. I guess that makes me unspiritual, but I'm just going to be truthful with you. Like, being patient does not feel good to me. When the person's driving 45 in the fast lane on the interstate and I've got somewhere to be, I don't stop and go, well, praise the Lord that I'm just being cultivated in the Spirit right now. You know, I have to edit my thoughts heavily and pray without ceasing in that moment. That's the way that tends to be. So when I'm trying to be patient, it doesn't feel good in that moment. When someone is doing something that would provoke me, and I am working to not be provoked, that's hard. It doesn't feel good, right? And the love songs all said it was supposed to feel good, not the breakup songs, the love songs, right? They all said it was supposed to feel good. The Disney movie endings like say it's supposed to feel good. That's the way it's supposed to go. But the truth is that love doesn't always feel great. In fact, sometimes love hurts. It really can be a struggle because I'm still in my flesh. I have the Spirit within me, but I'm walking around in this flesh body that wants all the things, like all the things. It wants them all. And so those two things are at war, and they're duking it out, and they're fighting. And I don't know if you've ever been in the middle of a tug of war and been the rope, but it doesn't feel real good for the rope. You know what I mean? You're being pulled in two different directions. And so on the one hand, your body just wants what it wants. The flesh just wants what it wants. If you're a psychologist, the id just wants what it wants, right? It's part of that nature of who we are. But then we have this other thing that steps into our lives of the Spirit that wants love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And that is a struggle to try to yield and give up those things. It's really difficult for us to be thrilled when we have the opportunity to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. The process is rarely fun of learning to be patient, of learning to be kind, particularly when someone's been unkind to you, even when it wasn't happened to us. You know, there are a lot of storylines out there, whether you're talking about in the media or in real life, where somebody does wrong to somebody and then they get theirs and you go, mm-hmm, right? We might not say it out loud. We go, oh, bless their heart. But in the inside, we're kind of going, told them so. You know what I mean? That sort of thing happens all the time. It's very hard to be kind with zero acknowledgement, to really pour yourself into somebody or to a relationship day after day after day and not see it reciprocated, not see that come back, and still be able to continue to be kind. To be really humble is hard. In fact, the person who wrote the words that Moses was the most humble man who ever lived was Moses. Kind of look back at that and give that some thought. I will just leave that where it's at. What we're really talking about here is laying down one's own life. And I think oftentimes, I don't know if this is true internationally, but definitely within the United States, when we say, I would lay down my life for them, what we're usually saying is I would die for them. Dying for someone and laying down someone's life may not always be the same thing. What that means is, what if in order to serve someone, I have to give up something that I want to really serve them and to really be kind to them or to really be patient with them or to really be gentle with them? Laying down one's life is more than just a willingness to die. Are you willing to live in such a way that you sacrifice your desires in order to serve and love and care for another human being? That's really hard to do. And I don't usually think it feels very good when I have to do it because we're human. We want what we want. Do we not? We want what we want. But do we want what God wants more than we want what we want? Some days for 15 minutes, yes, but it's an ongoing struggle. And if it was in our own strength, we would never do it because the works of the flesh can't produce the fruit of the Spirit. It has to be God-given or we won't do it. Which brings me to point five, love remains. This is actually probably my favorite one. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, and love remain, these three. But the greatest of these is love. It's funny to me how that list mirrors the list at the top, where it's talking about if I have prophecy, but not love, it's nothing. It's going back through that list again, and it's telling you why. It's because all these other things are going to pass away. Is there a need for patience in heaven? What would you need it for? Right? It doesn't exist in that same way because there isn't a need for it. It's already come into fruition. It's fully there. It's fully present, which is why when it gets to the end, and by the end, what do I mean? Like when we talk about now we see in a mirror dimly, to me that's like trying to look at the universe through a peephole in your door, right? Right now we're looking through the peephole and we're trying to catch a glimpse of what's to come. We're trying to catch a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven, a glimpse of what it means to walk and be fully known and to fully know, and we don't got it. Like we're looking through the keyhole at the universe and we can't take it all in because we can't even fathom what it is we're trying to absorb. We are finite beings trying to understand the infinite, and then we wonder why it doesn't work. It's not going to work. But when we are able to fully know as we are known, it says that one thing will remain. Now there are these three: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And I've thought about this passage a lot. Like, why is it that love wins? Why is it that love is the number one attribute? Why does it get to be the greatest of all? And I think the reason for that is just like some of those other fruits, those other two things are going to be unnecessary. There's no need for faith in heaven. Because just as I said earlier, faith is the evidence of things not seen. When we come into the presence of God and we fully know the way that we're known, we don't need faith anymore because it's not faith, because it's not evidence of things not seen. We'll be in the presence of God Almighty. That's not faith. That's sight. Lord, haste the day, right? What about hope? Well, there's no need for hope in heaven. Every hope that you ever have will be completely and utterly fulfilled by the person of Jesus Christ. What is it you're going to be hoping for in perfection? What are you hoping for in paradise? Nothing. But love will still be present. Faith and hope will be passed away, but love will remain. Love's the one thing that we will be in the presence of continually. It is of that list of three, the one that still will be there when all else is said and done, when everything else passes away. Love still remains. But oh goodness, there's the meantime, right? Like I love to talk about heaven, but I never want to talk about heaven so much that I forget that that's not where we're at yet. You know what I mean? And so we have to figure out how we navigate life on this earth. How do we show the love of God to people who may not know love or know God? How do we begin to do that? Well, it's hard because people are annoying. Not you, of course, but other people. You know what I mean? Morning people. People who are loud after bedtime in your house. Right? You know something. We know some of these people. People are annoying. People who eat the last cookie and put the empty pack back in the pantry. Who leave the dirty ice cream dish unrinsed in the sink. Right? It's so much easier when it's still wet, you know, but we get frustrated because people are annoying. So what do we do? Like, but what if they don't do right? What if they don't act right? What if they don't go to bed at the right time? What if they go straight to bed, immediately fall asleep and snore loudly so that you can't go to bed, right? How do we love them then? Wow. Well, let's go ahead and ask harder questions. What if they look different than you? What if they have more or less melanin in their skin than you do? What if they speak with an accent? What if they don't speak English at all? What if they use words that you don't approve of? What if they smell different? What if they vote different? What if they think differently? What if they have a different sin than you do, right? They sin differently than we do. Well, we don't get a pass. As believers, we're called to love everybody. There's not an out clause for it. Now, that doesn't mean that you always agree with everything that someone does. It doesn't also mean that what they're doing is right. But what it means that if you're going to speak the truth, if you're going to prophesy, if you're going to do any of those things in the life of that person, if you want it to bear fruit, it's going to have to come with love. And if it doesn't, it isn't of the Spirit. That faith without works is dead, but truth without love is empty. So loving someone doesn't mean that you accept what they do is right. It also doesn't mean that you overlook a sin in their life. You know what I mean? Like if I have a garden and some weeds begin to pop up in that garden and I don't take them out, I just ignore them, the weeds don't get better. You know what I mean? So really what it means to love someone is to love them for God's greatest good for their life. It means sometimes calling something that someone's doing into question and asking them about it. But when we do that, it has to be from a place of humility and gentleness. It has to be done in the fruit of the Spirit, because otherwise, if it's a work of the flesh, it's never going to bring about the righteousness of God. Love has to seek the person's highest good and what is best in the long run. And the problem is that we're all sprint runners in an infinite universe. You know what I mean? I'm really good at focusing for like 4 minutes. I'm awesome at focusing for 4 minutes. After 4 minutes, particularly if it's electronic on a Zoom call, like I'm like, do I have to leave this camera on? You know, there's some stuff I could be doing while this is happening, you know? That happens as well. But the truth of the matter is that we're running a long race, and we're running it in, if we're running it in the flesh, we're never going to make it to the finish line. This brings me to my eighth point, which is real love is unexceptional. The title of the sermon is Unexceptional Love. And some people ask me about that one. It is intended ironically, but it's also intended accurately. If we are believers, then that means that we are to have unexceptional love. Not meaning that the love is not exceptional. It means that we don't get to have exceptions in terms of who we love. We don't get to pick and choose. We don't get to decide whether we love that person, even if it's somebody who gravely harmed us or harmed someone we love. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to put yourself back in harm's way. It doesn't mean that you got to go, I can love and care for and have compassion for someone who has pedophilia and who is a child molester, but they're not watching my children. There's wisdom in that, too. You can have love and compassion, but it also doesn't mean that you have to cut yourself just so somebody else can see you bleed. It doesn't work like that. But you can have love and you can have compassion and you can speak truth and you can be kind even in the face of someone doing horrendous things. Not in our flesh, we can't. There are a few folks who in my lifetime have hurt me, like hurt me deeply. And in my flesh, that hole does not rejoice in unrighteousness. If something bad happened to them in the flesh, I'd be kind of like, all right, that's not holy and righteous, but it's true. But I'm not just left to my flesh. The Spirit of God living in me will not allow me to rejoice in bad things happening to people who are made in His image. It won't let me do that. So we don't get an out, we don't get a pass on who we love. We're commanded to love everybody. It's also unexceptional in that as believers, faith should be the rule. In other words, in Scripture, it says that's like the hallmark. That's the flagship of what it means to be a believer. That's how people know that you are a believer, is because of how you love people. In that regard, within the context of believers, our love is unexceptional, and that all believers should be loving everybody all the time, 100%. But if we do that, it will be the most exceptional thing that most people have seen. When you really love somebody else, it stands out in a world where people don't usually do that. When we love people despite of their sin and despite of our differences and without any regard for anything other than the fact that we love because Christ first loved us, when we do that, it's profoundly exceptional to the world. And our example in that, and the only way that we can even begin to comprehend how to do that, is because he did first love us. John 15:13 says that greater love has no one than this, than a person will lay down his life for his friends. In this regard, Jesus Christ is the greatest lover of all time. He is our example. He is the one that we are to be like. Without him having loved us first, we would utterly lack the capacity to love others. We might have affection for them. There's all kinds of counterfeit loves out there, right? There's affection, there's infatuation, there's all these other things, and they can feel great for a minute. But the works of the flesh cannot bring about the fruit of the Spirit. The only way that we can do that is by dwelling in God, dwelling in Christ. I am the vine and you are the branches. If any man abides in me, he will bear good fruit. For apart from me, you can do the exact same thing you can do without love. Nothing. It won't amount to anything. So today, we also plan to hold communion. And the reason that we do that and the reason that we hold communion is in remembrance of the one who loved us enough to lay down his life for us, the one who is our example, the one who is our Savior. Now, sometimes when you're doing communion, different churches do it different ways. For our purposes, the bottom line is this. Number one, all we ask is that if you're not a believer, please don't take it. And that's not because we're mad at you or trying to somehow ostracize or point that out to anybody. It's because God told us that if you're not a believer, don't take it. So we're just trying to be obedient in that. That doesn't mean you got to be a member of this church. It doesn't mean anything like that. Church membership and Christian faith are not synonymous in either direction. There are people who are believers who will never be a church member, and there are church members who have never been believers. So in that regard, we just ask that you be a person who has put their faith in Christ. If you have done that, then you are open to take communion. The only other stipulation that we put on it, and this again is not our stipulation but God's, is that if you go to take the Lord's Supper and you remember that you have something between you and another believer, we encourage you to get that settled between the two of you, to really work that out between you and the other person so that the body can have unity. So that we can practice love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. Two, the elements themselves don't do anything. Like some people kind of scratch their heads when we're like, if you're at your house, you know, get something like bread and juice. Welch's is not ordained by God. You know, there are denominations that use wine. There are denominations that use juice. If you struggle with alcohol, wine probably isn't the best choice for you. And it doesn't matter if it's a saltine cracker or a piece of bread or some Wonder Bread. You know, it doesn't matter. Because what it is not the bread or the juice or the wine turning into the body of Christ in some mystical way. What it is us taking the time to deliberately remember the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We're doing this in remembrance of him, because he exemplified that with his disciples at Passover, the last Passover before his crucifixion. He said, here, take my body, it's broken for you. Here, take this cup of my blood that's shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He said that because we forget a lot. I forget a lot. So today what I'm going to ask us to do is we're going to take a moment of silence for about a minute, just to give you a chance to pray, give you a chance to prepare your heart. And then what we're going to do is ask that you go ahead when you're ready, go ahead and take the little wafer. It's hard to get out if you're using the ones here. Be ready. You know, you might get to practice some patience already this morning. And the juice as well. Take those when you're ready. And then at the close of that, we will pray. And then Kurt will lead us in a song as well. God, we just thank you for your word and for your truth today. We just thank you for the fact that you loved us first. You didn't wait on us to get perfect to love us, that you love us despite our imperfections. God, I just pray that because you extend that grace to us as a perfect God who's willing to love imperfect people, that we have the good sense to be imperfect people willing to love other imperfect people by your grace and by your spirit. Lord, I just thank you for the truth that if we say we love you and we hate someone else, then we're lying to ourselves. And so, God, I just pray that you'll give us love for those who we may find unlovely, that you give us perseverance and self-control and those other fruits of the Spirit for when it's hard and when it's difficult to love one another. God, I just pray that today we will take the time to remember the fact that you loved us enough to lay down your life for us. God, we just thank you for the fact that it's not our perfection or us working harder or trying harder in our flesh, that ultimately that can't amount to a hill of beans. But God, that when we dwell in your love, that we can love others out of the overflow of that. That just like your disciples who walk with you on this earth, that people will see the way that we love others and go, they were with Jesus. So Lord, as we take the bread and as we take the cup, I just pray, God, that we'll do it with a heart of gratitude. Lord, that we will love you well and that we will love one another well. That you'll help us to grow in your fruits of the Spirit. That you'll help us to die to ourselves daily. That you'll help us to speak your truth and love. Lord, that we'll do all of the things in that list that are good things, but that we'll do it because of your Spirit dwelling in us. That we'll be able to reproduce faith because we'll walk by faith. And that we'll be able to reproduce love in others, a godly love for others, because we're walking in your Spirit. These things we pray and ask in Christ's name. Amen. I know that I need you.
My soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, oh. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, your price for my heart. I don't have a context for that kind of love. Don't understand.
Is
your love. From the heights of heaven, you step down to earth. Innocent perfection, gave your life for us. And we are amazed, and we stand in awe. For we have been changed by the power of the cross. How great, how great, how great is your love. How great, how great, how great is your love. How great, how great, how great is your love for us. Your kindness, you lead me home. In your presence, where I belong, you called me out, you lifted me out. How great is your love. From the heights of heaven, step down to earth, innocent perfection, give your life for us. And we are amazed, and we stand in awe, for we have been changed by the power of the cross. How great, how great, how great is your love. As we leave, be encouraged by the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Amen. We love because he has first loved us. Church, you are loved and you are sent. You are dismissed.